Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we will be finishing out that chapter this morning, and then tonight we'll be going down into chapter 7, the first verse actually of chapter 7. So, the title of the message this morning is The Danger of Unequal Yokes. The Danger of Unequal Yokes, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 through 18. So we'll read the first verse and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So verse 14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray that you would bless us now. I pray that you would forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and these that are saved as they hear. I pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would save their soul. I pray that you would bless the children's church as it goes on. Bless Miss Christie. And I pray that you just help us to learn your word. And I pray that you would help us all to come back safely tonight. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The danger of unequal yokes. So the Word of God says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" Now, it's easy to understand the idea of what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, because they're polar opposites. Righteousness and unrighteousness don't go to parties together and hang out. One is good and one is wicked. So they're polar opposites. They don't have anything to do with one another. And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, we understand if we turn out the lights in the sanctuary, that there's darkness. If we turn on the lights, there's no more darkness. So light and darkness do not have communion with one another. They are polar opposites. They don't fellowship. They don't have communion with one another. And so the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And then he gives these things as object lessons or illustrations. And so farmers, when they would plow their fields, would yoke oxen together. And they would plow their fields. And so the yoke is a usually made of wood, but it's a thing that joins the two animals together. Or if you have more than two, you can join them together so that they can work together to pull the plow. And the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." An unequal yoke would be a believer with an unbeliever. And in Deuteronomy 22:10, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not plow with an ox and a donkey together." So God told His people in giving some ceremonial laws there, He said, don't plow with an ox and a donkey together. And the reason for this, the Life Application Study Bible says, "A donkey and an ox, due to differences in strength and size, cannot pull a plow evenly." So there is a practical reason as well as a ceremonial reason why the donkey and ox should not be linked together or yoked together to plow. And so there's a reason why believers and unbelievers should not come together in unequal yokes. For instance, if you were trying to, now none of us plow our fields with animals, okay? We have, if you have a, how many of you farm? Bob does, all right? If you have, how many of you, your grandparents farmed? They had a garden or a farm or something, all right? So when my grandfather farmed, he had a tiller, a gas-powered tiller, and he would use that to plow up the field. And I imagine, Bob, you would use something that's electric or gas, right, to plow? Okay, you have used a donkey before, all right? So one time only. So what we wouldn't want to do is you wouldn't want to put a donkey and yoke it up with a dog. Because the donkey's a lot stronger unless you got one of those huge dogs. They've got different temperaments too. So your donkey would be pulling, and your dog, or let's say you put a cat on there, that would be a huge mistake. So your donkey would be pulling, and the dog or the cat would be slowing the thing down and being drugged behind. And so if we yoke up, if we form alliances with unbelievers to carry out spiritual things, it will slow us down and it will make us so that we cannot accomplish the goals that God has for us to accomplish. And so, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now the word Belial means worthless or wicked. It's a name of Satan, according to Thayer. And Fawcett says, as Satan is opposed to God, Antichrist to Christ, so Belial, standing here in contrast to Christ, must denote all anti-Christian pollutions personified. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the Corinthians had had an issue that we studied in 1 Corinthians where they would go to form social or business relations. They were going into idols' temples, which had restaurants. Some churches have restaurants today, but the idols' temples at that time had restaurants. Often they would serve cheap food there, and so the people would go. Actually, I don't know if the food was cheap. The idols' market, where they would sell food at the idols' temple, was less expensive. The meat was less expensive. But as far as the temple restaurant, I don't know if it was less expensive or not. But it probably was. So they would go there and they would eat with friends, maybe business associates. And Paul cautioned against this in 1 Corinthians because he said, when you go to these feasts in the idol's temple and it's part of a religious ceremony in the idol's temple, then there's demonic influences involved with the worship of those idols. And you don't need to, you need to be careful with that. You don't need to make yourself a part of those things. And so here, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, we believers today need to be cautious with the yokes that we form, with the agreements that we form with unbelievers. Now, you cannot help but associate with unbelievers. In fact, if we don't associate with unbelievers, we'll never lead anybody to Christ, right? Talk to me now. Yes, that's right. You won't lead anybody to Christ without associating with unbelievers. But there's a difference between you work with an unbeliever, you witness to unbelievers, you have unbelievers in your family, you invite people to church, you witness to people. There's a difference between doing that and going to the bar with unbelievers and getting drunk, right? There's a difference between that and sharing dirty jokes with unbelievers, right? For instance, if a person's single and they're going to date, there's a difference between dating believers, because everybody you date could be a prospect for marriage. So there's a difference between dating believers and dating unbelievers, because unbelievers, if you marry an unbeliever, that's going to form an unequal yoke. Now, that's not to say if you're married to, I don't know anybody here that's married to an unbeliever, but if you are married to an unbeliever, the Bible says very clearly that if you have a marriage like that, in fact, Paul has cautioned that if you have a marriage like that where you have a believer and an unbeliever, that you're not to get a divorce. If the unbelieving spouse decides to leave, he says you can let them leave, but don't get a divorce. You're not to break up the marriage. But what I'm simply saying is don't form an unequal yoke in the first place. It's going to cause you nothing but trouble. And a lot of people think, well, I can date an unbeliever and then I'll get them saved. Well, sometimes that works, but most of the time it doesn't, and they'll end up dragging you down. And so, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Business associates. We do a lot of business in the business world. We do business with people that aren't saved. But you're very unwise to form a business partnership with somebody who's not saved. You have different values, two different value systems. My father, when he was in business, one of the things he wouldn't do is he was in the trucking business, and he would not ship alcohol in back hauls. He refused to ship alcohol in back hauls. Just wouldn't do it. It was against his principles, so he would not do it. But you have a unsaved business partner. They might want to do unscrupulous things. They might want to cheat people. They might want to do all kinds of things that would be unscrupulous. And so you have to make decisions to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Now, verse 15, what concord hath Christ with Belial, or with Satan, or with the forces of Satan? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Now, the word infidel, as it is used historically, the historical reference I read that was used not in the Bible but in literature outside the Bible, the same word that is translated infidel meant first incredible and then incredulous. And the idea of an infidel is an unbeliever, an infidel, a pagan, according to Mounts. This is not simply somebody that has doubts about something. This is somebody that is a skeptic. They're a skeptic. And so what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, with somebody that rejects Christianity, with somebody that doesn't believe the Bible, with somebody that's a skeptic? And there has been in the past in Christianity a desire to work with people that aren't even saved to accomplish spiritual goals. For instance, there have been revivals, evangelistic campaigns in the United States in the past. I don't know if this is happening now, but I know it's happened in years past where there's been an evangelistic campaign, and they would actually, the preacher would actually get associations of people together, and they would get Roman Catholics, and they would get liberal Presbyterians and liberal Methodists, and then they would get Bible-believing evangelical Christians, and they would get them all together, and then when people would get saved, they would send the converts back to the Roman Catholic Church and to the liberal Protestant churches, and they would do that kind of a thing. Now, you might say, well, that's a good idea because that would evangelize those churches. But the truth is, those churches that don't believe the Bible are going to disciple those people. And so it forms a disaster. And so, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. That is why we do not work with unbelievers in spiritual enterprises at Harmony Baptist Church. We are an independent church. We are separate. The Southern Baptist Convention that we fellowship with has taken a strong stand against liberal doctrine. And so, we do not fellowship with unbelievers in spiritual things. And some people say, well, why would it be wrong to yoke up with an unbeliever? For the same reason that you don't yoke a ox and a cat together when you plow your field, because it'll be a disaster. It won't work. You can't plow like that. And so, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 16, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God had said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is a quote from a couple of different Old Testament passages that we'll look at in just a second. But think about this. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now, what was a big problem in Corinth? Idolatry. These people had been saved out of idolatry. There were idols, temples all over the city. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? So, we could ask the same question. What agreement does the church of God, does this church have with idolatrous religions, with false religions? What agreement do we have with them? None. None. And so it's important that we not yoke up with them. For instance, some people would like to get together with the Muslim mosque downtown so that we can have dialogue and so that we can work together in Christian enterprises that we agree in. Now, what's the problem with that? You're forming an unequal yoke to do that. Now, should we be friends with Muslims? Absolutely. Should we witness to Muslims? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can't win people to Christ without being friends and without witnessing to them. But we shouldn't yoke up together in a spiritual enterprise because it forms an unequal yoke and it goes against Scripture. And by the way, you'll always turn out better going with Scripture than going against Scripture. Amen. Right? A lot of times we think we know better than God. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Exodus 29:45. This is a quote from Exodus 29:45, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And also from Leviticus 26:12, and I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. So God had made promises in the Old Testament to His people, saying, I will dwell among you. You will be my people. And so Paul carries that over and applies it to the New Testament church and says, look, God wants to dwell among us. God wants us to be His people. And in order to live like His people, then we have to be separate from unbelievers. Think of all the snares that came upon the children of Israel as they were in the wilderness and then when they got in the promised land because they formed unequal yokes with unbelievers. Think of the snares that came upon Solomon. King Solomon ended up having 1,000 wives and concubines, which is a dangerous thing to do. Don't do that. It's illegal in the United States. But Solomon must have had massive bills at Walmart and other places where they may have shopped. And so but God warned him, don't marry heathen women, women that worship idols. Don't marry them. And so Solomon took heathen women to be his wives, because he wanted to form political alliances. He thought he knew more than God. He disobeyed God, wanted to expand his empire, form political alliances. And in doing that, he himself eventually built altars. Solomon built altars to the gods of his foreign wives because they worshipped idols, so he built temples and altars to their idols. And God judged him for doing that, and the kingdom, after he passed away, the kingdom was divided. And so God says, I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And therefore God wants His people to be separate. And so 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And so God said to the Corinthians, come out from among the idolatry that is in your city, and be separate. And so God says to us, come out from among the idolatry that is in our city, in our county, and be separate. A lot of times we want to be so much like unsaved people and so relevant to unsaved people that we start becoming like unsaved people, and then there's no real difference, and there has to be a difference between us and the unsaved. We are believers in Jesus Christ. If the unsaved lie and cheat, we shouldn't lie and cheat. If the unsaved tell dirty jokes, we shouldn't tell dirty jokes. If the unsaved do this, then we shouldn't do this. We ought to live according to the Bible. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now that's interesting. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now think about this. When you get saved, you become sons and daughters of the Lord. The Bible says in the Gospel of John chapter 1, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on His name. And so when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and He becomes our Savior through faith, then we become sons and daughters of God. Now, that's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about a relationship with God, which you get when you're born again and you're saved. All right? When you are saved, when you're born again, then you have a relationship with God. God becomes your Father and you become His child. That relationship is unchanging. It is permanent. But what this is talking about is your fellowship with God. And God says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, just to give you an illustration of the difference between relationship and fellowship, when my father was alive, I was my father's son. And my father loved me. I would always be his son. And I lived at his house for a long time. And let's suppose that one day I had gone home and I had taken out a knife and began to cut up my father's chair. And he'd said, what are you doing? And I'd said, I'm just cutting up. Just cutting up. It's a bad joke. Anyway, I'm cutting up the father's chair. And then let's suppose I threw a rock through his TV and bashed in the TV. Now, he would have gotten mad and he would have said, leave the house. Now, I would have still been his child, but I would have lost my fellowship with him. I would not have lost my relationship with him. And what God is talking about here is relationship. By the way, the Bible says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. We cannot lose our relationship with God. The Bible says you must be born again. Jesus didn't say you must be born again and again and again and again. He said you must be born again. So we get born again, just like you're born physically once, you're born spiritually once. You get born again, you have your relationship, but you can lose your fellowship with God simply by getting out of the will of God and going off into sin. And so the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. God wants to be a father unto you. He wants to act like a father, because He is your Father. And God can't be to you everything that a father is, everything that a heavenly father would be, if you're yoking up with unbelievers and walking away from him and going your own way. Because you can't have proper fellowship with God doing that. And so the Bible says that As iron sharpeneth iron, so a friend sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And so who we hang out with affects who we are. The Corinthians wanted to go to the idols' temples, and they wanted to hang out with their friends who were idolaters, and they even participated in some of those things and said, it's not affecting my relationship with God because I don't really believe in this stuff. And yet, because they were doing it and taking part in it, it was affecting their relationship with God, because you can't hang out around demonic and wicked stuff without it eventually infiltrating your life and affecting you. And therefore, though their relationship with God was intact because they were born again, saved, children of the living God, yet God wanted to be a father to them, and He wanted them to be as sons and daughters, and they're not acting like sons and daughters. Gracie and Zach, when Gracie hugs me, as she did this morning and as she did last night four or five times when she was trying not to go to bed, she would say, come here, and I need another hug. And when they do that, they're acting like sons and daughters. But indeed, when they, I guess they're not old enough for this, but if they get older and rebel and all that kind of stuff, and they walk out of the house and say, I'm leaving, you know, then they're not acting like sons and daughters. I can't do what I would like to do for them at that point. Now I can, but God wants us to be in a position to where He can be a father unto us, and to where we can be His sons and daughters as far as our fellowship is concerned. And so, verse 1 of chapter 7, which we're going to expound tonight, but we'll briefly read it now. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so God wants us to cleanse ourselves from filthiness of the flesh and of the Spirit, both external and internal, both from religious yokes that would be unequal and physical yokes that would be unequal. God wants us to come out from among them and be separate. He wants us to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And therefore, we befriend unbelievers and try and reach unbelievers with the gospel, but we do not form unequal yokes with unbelievers, because it will always lead to disaster. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these Thy people. I thank You for Your warning to us in Your Word against unequal yokes. I do pray that we would avoid this danger. I pray that we would be cautious in our associations, that we would not put ourselves in a position to form alliances and associations that are unequal and thus unspiritual. And we pray that You would help us to serve You, to come out from among the wicked world and be separate, and to touch not the unclean thing, and to be sons and daughters to You. And we thank You that You are our Father. We praise Your name for that. We pray if anyone here doesn't know You as Savior, that they would trust You today and be born into Your family. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen.